Certainly glad that I got my shirt wet since my pants are, okay? Some of you will figure that out later, but anyway, it's great to see all of you here tonight. I know that our time is a little bit later, and I knew that it would, but what I want to do for about the next 15 minutes is I want to share something that really struck my heart yesterday as I pulled up and listened. Many of you know Dr. Tony Evans in Dallas at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. His wife, Lois, passed away 70 years old. She died with a very rare gallbladder cancer. And I listened to a lot of that service online. It was live when they had it day before yesterday, I believe it was. But in the course of that, as her children stood and spoke about their mother, and what kind of mother they were. Jonathan Evans, who is Tony Evans' son and also helps his father there at the church, he's a former NFL football player, played for several teams, and he is now the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys. He is the assistant chaplain for the Dallas Mavericks. But when he stood, he used this verse that I want to use tonight. He used this verse about his mother as he spoke about her, what she had meant to so many people, what she had meant to her children in their life. And it's found in the book of Acts as Luke recorded this in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. And I'm reading it from four different translations here. The New King James says, "For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption." The NIV says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed." The New American Standard Bible says, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay." And then the Bible that you have there in the pew, the English Standard Version says, "For David, after he had served the purpose for God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption." There's an old song, and if you'll go back to the New King James for me there, Kara, I want to leave that up there for a few moments. There's an old song that was written in 1903 actually the title I knew it by was called "My Task." It's listed in some of the old hymn books as "To Love Someone More Dearly." But I want you to listen to these words, and then I want to just speak about this verse for a minute. "To love someone more dearly every day, to help a wandering child to find his way, to ponder o'er a nobler thought and pray, and smile when evening comes, and smile when evening comes. This is my task. To follow truth as blind men long for light, to do my best from dawn of day till night, to keep my heart fit for his holy sight, and answer when he calls, and answer when he calls. This is my task. And then my Savior by and by to meet, when faith hath made her task on this earth complete, and lay my homage at the Master's feet, within the jasper walls, within the jasper walls, this crowns my task." Now I want you to look at three things in this verse for tonight as we leave this place. For David, if you put your name there tonight, for David, for Randy, for Julia, for whomever, notice, after he had served, I know beyond any shadow of any doubt, based upon Scripture, you and I were birthed for a reason. We were created for a purpose in this life. Now, many people take their lives and they never get on board with the purposes of God. They go through life, they really waste their lives, they spend their lives, whatever time, from the moment of conception till the moment of expiration. They just spend their lives doing whatever they want to do. If it works into their plans, I'll do it. If not, then I'm going to do what satisfies me, what my self-focus is, what are my self-motivations, and for all of really the wrong reasons. For David, after he had served his own generation, let me ask you a question tonight. In serving the Lord, are you serving the Lord tonight in the way that he created you to serve him? Are you doing for him in your everyday life what you need to do for him based upon the breath that he gave to each of us? As I was baptizing a few moments ago, and there was Maddie, 10 years old. How many of you were saved 10 or under? Anybody in here? All right, a lot of you were. A lot of you were. How many of you were saved over the age of 10? Okay, a lot of us were saved at a later age. And then I looked at Dick, 85 years old up there, from age 10 to age 85 tonight. You see, God breathes into man the breath of life. The Bible says man became a living soul. God created us for a reason. God created us with purpose. God created us for a purpose. David realized from those early days, his father was a farmer. He would be out on the hillside of the Judean hillside. David was just a young lad. He had 7 other brothers. And David was the youngest one. But he was the keeper of the sheep for his father out there. It would be out there when he killed the lion, when he killed the bear, that he always gave God praise. He realized it was divine help that got him through all of those situations that he dealt with in his life. He realized from his earliest childhood, even though he grew up, he became the king of a great nation. He was hated by the former king of the nation, Saul. Even when David had opportunity to retaliate against Saul, he didn't do it. The only thing that he did twice when Saul was given over into his hands, the only thing David did was when Saul was asleep, he cut off a piece of his robe. Just as a testimony to know that he could have taken his life, but he had nothing in his heart that desired retaliation whatsoever. The Psalms are filled with praises from David. The Psalms are filled with penitential psalms where he realized when he had committed some sins in life that he was not proud of, but he owned up to those wrongs that he did. He prayed and he asked God to create in him a new heart. David, all the time of his entire life, his motivation was to always give God the praise and to always give God the glory. For David, after he had served, let me ask you a question tonight. Where are you serving in God's kingdom tonight? What are you going to do in the year 2020, this new year? We all have a great opportunity. We all have a clean slate to try to do something for the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful for all these people that I've personally had an opportunity to talk with about faith and trust in God. And I want you to know there's not a greater thrill than to be able to share Jesus with someone and to lead someone to faith in Christ. David found his task in life. He found his niche in life, and he realized that God created him for a purpose, and he wanted to spend the days of his life giving to and serving the Lord. Because it really is true that what you and I do here and now that makes the difference over yonder one of these days. So David served. I would say to each one of us, I would challenge each one of us to become a servant of the Lord. Serve. Find a place to be involved. Find a place to get involved. Whether it's greeting, ushering, being on the safety team, helping in the kitchen, being in the prayer room, praying for the services, praying over the needs of people. Whether it's out there at the workplace, sharing your faith with others. Now, your workplace may not allow you that opportunity, but people can look at your life because the Bible says that we are light and we're salt in the world. We're light to those in the darkness. We're salt. We're the preservative of the Christian faith in our life. David served his own and then generation. I want you to look at the word his own generation. His own generation. Grandparents, what are you doing for your children while you're living? This generation that you live in, what are you doing for your children? What are you doing for your grandchildren? You see, not only did David serve, but he served his own generation. You know, I asked myself the question today, what can I do personally for myself that would be beneficial for the kingdom of God in 2020 personally? And then I ask myself, what can we do here at New Hope collectively for our generation? And then thirdly, what can we do for ourselves spiritually in the generation that we're living in? Let me tell you, parents, grandparents, what you leave behind, the legacy you leave. When I listen to those four kids of Tony and Lois Anthony Evans tell about what their mother meant to them. In fact, Priscilla, is it Shire, I think is the way she pronounces. She's written lots of books. She's been in some movies. When her mother died, she tweeted out a post. She said, "Good night, Mommy. I'll see you in the morning." And when I listened to the testimony of those children, and I thought, you know, what they've been brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, I would admonish you, I would challenge you, I would encourage you to reach out to your family. They're your generation, to leave a legacy for them. Let me tell you, if we don't leave a legacy of the Christian faith in their lives, should Jesus tarry his coming in the days to come, let me tell you, this world is going to be in a mess. And you'll see some more of that on the second sermon in my series on Not All Roads Lead to Heaven this coming Sunday morning. David served. He served his generation. In other words, he got on board to do what he should do for his family. Even though David had a very rocky road, he was not the greatest father in all the world. He focused many times on some things when he should have focused much more heavily on his family. And there was all kinds of situations that arose in David's family. No doubt, the thorn in his flesh was from the day he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And the sword never left his house. There were lots of things about David's life that wasn't perfect. But the one thing that was perfect, he had a heart for God. Even when he was wrong, even when he failed, even when he sinned, he cried out to God because he knew that that was his only hope. For David, after he had served his own generation, and then the last thing tonight, by the will of God. By the will of God. What is God's will for your life? What is it God wants you to do in 2020 for his kingdom's work? For your family, for your generation. Notice once David had completed his assignment in life. Notice David fell asleep. That's the word for he died. David died. He was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. That word corruption just meant that his body went back to the dust of the earth from whence it came. And so, what did David do? David found his lot and station in life. I like what this song says. To love someone more dearly every day. To help a wandering child to find his way. To ponder o'er a noble thought and pray. And then smile when evening comes. That crowns my task. To follow truth. Truth. We're going to look at that Sunday morning. What is truth? What is truth? What is absolute truth versus what is relative truth and the world that we live in? The songwriter put it so well, to follow truth as blind men long for sight. If you're blind physically, you would long for sight to be able to see. If we followed truth as a blind person longs for sight, or as a person who's drowning would want to get that next breath of air, to do my best from dawn till day of night, to keep my heart fit for His holy sight. The Bible says, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Solomon said, do diligence to keep your heart, for out of the heart flow the issues of life. Let me tell you, David got on board. David realized that God created him to serve, and to serve his generation, to leave it a better place than he found it, to leave footprints on the sands of time. What kind of legacy will you leave behind? What will people say about you someday? As I listened to those four children and their grandchildren and all the accolades of praise, but all of them spoke about Jesus Christ, what he meant, what he means in their heart and lives, as their parents taught them to do. Notice that David served, and he served his own generation. How did he do it? By the will of God. By the will of God. You and I are living in a very strange time of life. I read yesterday, what were the biblical prophecies that took place in 2019? They were pretty astounding. I read, what are some of the Bible prophecies that will probably and could take place in 2020? It was even more astounding as I looked at the cashless society that the end time will eventually turn to. In Sweden, maybe you don't know, there's some 1,600 banks, I think. Already, they're going to a cashless society. In 900 of those banks, you can't take cash. They won't accept it. I read just this past week, 80%, I believe it is, of Americans use the credit card. Only 20% are using cash. Can you see how that's going to be fulfilled in the days to come? By 2030, they're expecting to have a one world government, a one world religion. So can you see from God's word that the time that you and I have to serve our generation by the will of God, it may not be too long before Jesus comes back to this world. Let me tell you, with all of the things that are escalating in this world, in life, all the players in the book of Revelation are out there on the stage tonight. They're all there. I read yesterday, when the Jews get to rebuild the last temple that that we understand until God has His own kingdom, that all of the instruments, all of the clothes, all of the sacrificial items to be used in the final temple there in Jerusalem, they're already made. They are in the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. And the red heifer that has to be slaughtered and its ashes used in the ceremonial of all of those things, there have only been two or three in the last 2,000 years that would qualify, and two of the three don't qualify. There is one right now that presently qualifies, and if it doesn't grow a white spot on it between now and the time of the building of the final temple, it will qualify to be the red heifer that will be used to be sacrificed and its ashes used in the final days. I don't know when Jesus is going to come, but I know He's going to come. I know He gave you and me a task. He gave the marching orders to 12 disciples 2,000 years ago. And He has not rescinded the marching orders for His church. With some 1.8 billion people in this world today who say, I profess faith in Christ. Let me tell you, we better be about His business because time is running out. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. He died. One day, you and I will have served out our time. Whether we made the right choices, whether we did it, whether we didn't, we will have breathed our last breath in this life, or else we'll be fortunate to be raptured into heaven. But one of these days, we'll stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to give an accounting of our lives. Will we be able to do what the songwriter said and smile when evening comes? This crowns my task. Would you stand as we pray together? We're going to have an invitation.